Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to Renee's Heart to Heart. I'm glad you joined us today. Well, it's a very, very rainy morning here in South Florida. That time of year, I guess. That's all right. We keeps everything green. I thought today would be fun to do like a potluck Friday. There's so many things going on in the world, and yet so many of them, even though they're different stories, they're the same subject. And, of course, bullying, which is one of the reasons we started this show, is often at the forefront. So is the bad things about our world. The sex trafficking that we've talked about, the scams that Shelley brought up this week, and all the different things that are going on, the credit cards. I woke up this morning to hearing all about the new, some kind of a detector now that they're putting on everything. I mean, we've been listening to this for, a couple years now, being careful. I think it's almost time for us to go back to cash and maybe hiding it under our mattress, not putting it in the bank. It's gotten, kind of confusing. When I counsel young people, I talk about the things that you're supposed to learn as you grow up and become an adult, but none of them are functioning anymore. Not to the caliber that they were set up to do so. Let's bring Shell in because I have a few things that I'd like to touch on. And the other thing is that I found a report this morning about the laws that are changing. And some of them, I always thought were already in existence, but apparently not. So we'll have a little fun with this today, I hope. Good morning, Shell. How are you?
I'm doing great. I hope you are too. And good morning to our listeners.
Yeah, we have everything relatively in order here at the Brewer household, which is few and far between when I feel like everything is pretty copacetic. But I would say that today everything is pretty copacetic. Nobody's in the hospital. Everybody's on their way to work, and everything is functioning. The AC's not down. The dogs are one on one side of me and one on the other. So I guess everything is pretty good, except for the big thunderstorm that's going on outside that has the dogs, looking at me like, could you please turn that off, Mom? Like I have something to say about it. So how are things in your world, honey?
Kind of the same thing. I got a lot accomplished this week. I'm about two-thirds of the way through my course that I'm taking through Hay House, which is remarkable, by the way. I recommend it to anybody. So if anybody is into writing and they just want a little boost, even if you've already published a couple of books, there's things that even accomplished writers, accomplished authors, published authors, I should say, even post authors take this course because it goes into things that you might not think of, how to structure your book, how to have it make it flow, how to have it make it more enjoyable for the reader. Because the bottom line is we write books for two reasons. Either we want to entertain somebody if you write a fiction book, or you want to help someone and you're writing an informational book, a self-help book, whether it be self-help on a personal development or self-help through a business book or whatever. But you still want to make sure that the information isn't dry and static, that it captures your reader, and that it really gives them help. It provides help for them. So it's a remarkable course, great lecturers in this course, like Wayne Dyer and Chris Carr, who we know personally. We're not personal friends with her, but we certainly know her. We were friends with her when she had come to Hippocrates. So Chris Carr is one of the teachers, remarkable, remarkable individual. And her story of really going from being unknown to being mega successful is remarkable. She's just an incredible teacher. You know, and then Gabby mm-hmm. Bernstein, and Brendan Burchard, who is somebody I had taken the course from years ago. So the teachers are very, very high quality teachers. And so it's really helping me focus my book. I've completely changed the title. I've changed around the table of contents. I've simplified it. I'm covering less chapters, but having shorter snippets of information. So instead of creating War and Peace, which is what I was going towards, I'm simplifying my whole presentation approach, still giving tons of information, but doing it in a way that I'm trying not to overwhelm my my readers with giving them, with giving them 20 years of information in a single book. I'm just going to highlight what mm-hmm. I've learned, give them the end result, but not necessarily. The way I was writing the book before is every detail I had, I was putting in the book to substantiate how I got there. I'm not doing that anymore because a lot of the books I read don't do that. They give you the conclusion and they tell you where the sources are so you can read those other books. But I just want to know what the conclusions are. I don't want to have to follow their entire 20-year path. And that's what I was doing with my original book, and it was getting too lengthy. So this course has really helped me refine my style. Like I said, you know, I've already ghostwritten two books for somebody that we know, and that came out very, very well. I already had one of my books approved by an editor, so at least I know my writing style has improved. So it's been a great thing. So that's like, I'm working on it every day now. I'm very excited about it. And I'm really looking to have something publishable by the end of this year. So that's kind of where I am now. I'm working on it 5 days out of the week, sometimes 7 days out of the week. But, you know, when Nina's off, then we tend to do things together. So we'll see. But that's kind of where I'm at right now. I'm really, really hammering out the organization of the book and starting to change the presentation style to make it easier to read, to get a bigger bang for your buck, so to speak.
mm-hmm. Well, it sounds good. And I know that's been a, kind of a life dream of yours. I'm excited for you as well that you are finally at a place that you can see some of your efforts coming to fruition. That's kind of magical in and of itself. Many of us have dreams, and they stay dreams. And I think whenever you bring any kind of a dream, a wish, a thought, your imagination gives you something and you bring it to life, is like awesome. I mean, there isn't anything better than that, I don't think. And some people can't even get to that dream in part. So in that respect, I've always thought you and I were pretty lucky in that, because we're not afraid to dream. We're not afraid mm-hmm. to imagine us getting to another place instead of staying in a stale existence that doesn't dream and doesn't imagine us being capable or able to reach those goals. That's a big mm-hmm. part of what you have to do. Kids, you know, it's if you don't ever dream of anything, your life gets kind of stale. And I mean, I talk to everybody so many times in the family about, well, if you really want to do that, do it.
Right.
The only one that can really stop you is you.
Yeah, well, one of the wonderful things about Hay House, you know, Hay House was started by Louise Hay, and we sold her book, How to Heal Your, How to Heal Your Body, and what it was a book about how our thoughts and life experiences can actually create the physical symptom. So you think this physical symptom is because of some disorder, but it's really being created by your emotions, by anger, by fear, by frustration, and these will manifest in different areas of the body. And she, over decades of doing this therapy with people and helping them, a lot of her clients would say, you should write this stuff down as like a book that could help people. Now this book has sold millions of copies worldwide. It's been printed in other languages. because it works, because people get the book and they test it out and they're like, oh my God, this like really works, you know? So, but she couldn't get anybody to publish the book. So she created her own publishing company, Hay House Publishing. And so they really cater to the self-help genre, the spiritual genre. James Franz Prague, who is a psychic medium, is one of their authors. Greg Braden, who I've been following, and these are also my teachers. So I watch classes by James Franz Prague and by Greg Braden. I love Greg Braden. Greg Braden is a scientist who then became a theologian. So he's a theological expert, and he marries the two. He says that science proves that there is a spiritual realm. Science proves, so he goes into that with the quantum physics and everything. So I love the way that he, because he was a scientist first and then became a theologian. And people like Greg Braden and Brendan Burchard and all that, and these are all very, very highly accomplished authors, but they all have the same thing in mind, is that there's a spiritual content to all of their writing. And so Hay House really caters to those type of authors. Gabby Bernstein, Miriam Williamson, is very, very popular in the realm of the, A Course in Miracles. She had read A Course in Miracles and then embarked on her own journey with the information from that course. So it's all very spiritually based, but not religiously based. I'm talking spiritual. So it's very, 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 very high-minded publishing company. So even if you don't go with them, and they say that throughout the course, even if you end up not going through us, they say, you know, what you learn here, you can use with any publisher. So it's very, very valuable information, and it's really not a course that's offered by anybody else. So it's been a remarkable experience. But one of the things that is across the board is to set not so much dreams, because a lot of times people don't think dreams can come true, okay? It's a dream with an intention. So you're really setting, you're dreaming up something that you want out of your life, and then you're setting the intention that you want to know how to achieve that. And once you do it that way, once you take a piece of paper and a pen and you write down, this is how I see my life in 5 years, or this is how I see my life in 10 years, whatever feels right to you, and you start writing it down, and you do it with intention, not that it's a pipe dream, not that it's a daydream, but that it's a dream that you want to come true. It's interesting that when you do that, all of a sudden, ideas will start popping into your mind, people pop into your mind, circumstances will present themselves. When I started getting serious about doing something with my book again, because it's been on again, off again with me with the book thing, you know, this has been going on for 20 years with me, you know, and I've changed the book a dozen times. I've changed the format. I've changed what I was going to include in it. I've changed my writing style dramatically. You know, over those two decades. But, you know, I kept like starting and stopping. So a few months ago, well, about 6 months ago, I said, okay, this is it. This time I'm going to work on it and I'm going to blast through. And I got really serious and I started writing down and started trying to organize it. I had my whole big folder in it. It's like 3 inches thick. And I get an email from Greg Braden. My sister and I had watched one of his YouTubes. I was very impressed with it. I had remembered him from years ago, clicked on it, signed up. Within 2 weeks of watching this like random YouTube that got my sister's attention, I get an email from Greg Braden about writing a book across a weekend. And I was like, well, isn't that weird? Why would I get that kind of an email from Greg Braden? You know, here is this, you know, scientific spiritual guru type of guy. So I read it. And it was about this free weekend seminar with Hay House for a writer's workshop. And I was like, well, wasn't that amazing that I got that from Greg Braden? So I went ahead, signed up for the free workshop, took it, and I was so impressed with what I just learned in that weekend seminar that I signed up for the course. But the whole thing is that this came on the heels of me getting serious and saying, I've got to figure out a way to make this move forward. Other people publish books. I have something to say. I have things to say that I think can help people, and that's the whole reason I started on this journey to begin with. And then this this email just pops into because I watched a random video, and that's how it happens. And these aren't coincidences. People always say, what a coincidence. It's not. It's what you attract to you. So I put that out there. Hey, I want to get serious. I want to get a connection to know how to do this. And then all of a sudden this course pops into my email box. And then a lot of other things have happened. I'm not going to go into all the different circumstances. But the bottom line is one of the things, and hopefully this will help our listeners, one of the things I found so reassuring, I guess, while I'm taking this course is how many other authors did we see today and are so successful, and they had starts just like mine. Some of them, it took them decades, like me, over 10, 15, 20 years to get their first book published. Like the one woman says, she actually has a lecture and it caused 14 years to have an overnight success. So it took her 14 mm-hmm. years to finally get to the point where she felt comfortable getting her book out there. And then once the book was out there, it was an overnight success. But she said mm-hmm. she had the book done for 14 years and just couldn't seem to figure out how to finalize it, how to get it to a publisher, how to do this. So here she had this book. And so many of these other authors had the same stories. Louise Hay didn't print her first book until she was in her 60s and then continued publishing books until she was 88. So that mm-hmm. made me feel good too. Cause it's like, okay, I'm right in the right age, you know? So it is reassuring, and whether with me it's the writing, it's getting the book out because I want to help people, creating my website, things like that, starting a blog, you know, that kind of stuff. But whatever your dream is, even if you've had that dream for 20 or 30 years, don't let go of it. Write it down on a piece of paper and write down, I want to know how to bring this to light. I want to know how to bring this into my life. I want to know how to make this a reality, how to bring my dream true. You know, write down something like that, and then just, but feel good while you're saying that, and then just let it go, and be aware of coincidences, or what appears to be a coincidence that may pop into your life after that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's, you know, that's what I said in the very beginning. I think being aware of the fact that to make your wishes come true, your dreams come true. But so many people think, oh, you know, that's just a pipe dream and that'll never happen to me.
Right.
Important part of being able to dream and being able to bring it to some kind of fruition. But to do with believing in yourself as well.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm on my show. It went off and on and came back on. We're having a thunderstorm, so my internet has been going up and down. I lost you for like 2 seconds, but then you were right back on. Spike just came in and said, Mom, are you still on the show? And I said, yeah, everything it came back up. So, I do believe in believing in yourself. And of course, you and I've had these kind of conversations for more than 20 years now about what we are capable of if we believe in ourselves, and that's a big important facet in a happy life. Period. Whether you're talking about you know, your money situation, your home situation, your significant other situation, your family situation. It's all about that. And of course, one of the things that I've learned in the last few years is we always reach outside of our box thinking we need to fix somebody else before we fix ourselves. Big lesson for Renee. Big lesson for Renee.
Right.
Because always think I'm supposed to help somebody else. And in order to really help other people, you have to be standing on your own 2 feet. You have to have a core that is strong and forgivable of yourself and others. And then you can, and sometimes you do it without even knowing it. And that's kind of nice too, when you come to the realization that you, without any intention, you've actually helped somebody the other side of a situation. And of course, that's what I hope we do on the show. And that's why today I wanted to make it all about potluck and all about, you know, the different things that we've talked about over the years. And there's a lot. I mean, you know, I made myself a little list, and I, you know, I wanted to touch base on the little thing that just happened in our life. If you've not listened to the show when I've explained what took place when I asked for prayers for my family, my son's son, Mike Jr., the one who got set on fire in 2009, he and his fiance had a baby girl. And she was born a little premature. They had to do an emergency cesarean. And she seemed to be perfect, but she just really was not done in the womb. So she had to go into intensive care. And we were at Wellington Regional Hospital, which is here very close to where I live in South Florida, in West Palm Beach. And I experienced something that I have not experienced before in my 70 years. I've watched the birth of my own children, my grandchildren, a friend's children's. I've been there for people to be their coach. I've done a lot of that kind of stuff. Wellington Regional provides an area. Their birthing floor is one like I've never seen before. First of all, daddy is included in everything, which is like a real, that's like turning a big corner, Shell. There's a bed big enough for mom and dad to sleep in the room. And daddy does skin on skin time with the new baby. Daddy learns how to feed, change. He not just watched the cesarean, by the way, and cut the umbilical cord, but he was a part of it from beginning to end, which I thought was a major big step in our world, a major big step. And I also believe it gives men an opportunity to be a lot more respectful of us, don't you think?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And also it allows men to connect more with their children. A lot of men out there do connect. I'm not talking about them. There's a lot of men that are very, very, very emotional, very, very, very loving to their children. You know, you can just see it in the way they you know, the way they handle them. But there are those fathers that are very distant. They don't want to touch them. They don't want to touch the babies. They don't cuddle their children. And I think when you make that bond this early on, it can actually open up the father's heart and really start them down that journey of connecting with their children right from the get-go.
Excuse me, it was beautiful. So I wanted to recognize Wellington Regional Hospital. I also wanted to say that the internet is alive with the stories that Shelley and I have done several times now. I started looking through some of my old tablets and seeing some of the times we've done the sex trafficking and the abusive things that go on out there in the world between, I mean, Shelley and I did a whole month back in 2012 and 2013 about mental institutions and the, you know, the horrific things went on back then, and what wasn't always directed at adults, it was often directed at children who maybe were autistic or born with, you know, some kind of either retardation or any kind of an affliction that made them different. And they were not, you know, they were treated like guinea pigs instead of being cared for. So we've come a long way in regard to a lot of that stuff. But every day now, there's more information about how to be aware when our kids are on the internet and who they're talking to and who they're talking about. And if you're paying attention, there's a lot of information out there that's going to help you in that genre if you're paying attention. The scams Shelley told us about that happened to her and her fight to get to the other side of that. And now warnings all over this week about the chips that read your debit card or your credit card and all that kind of stuff. I'm at the point where I think, you know, like I said in the beginning, maybe we should be putting our money under our mattress and just using cash. I don't know. But that's kind of scary, and you're going to have to be aware of that as well. So having said that, go ahead.
Well, no, finish your statement, and then I want to comment on what you just said.
Well, having said that, I think that being aware and paying attention to the things that you see that you think, you know, I'll look at that later, or I don't want to, my mind is on something else, I don't want to pay attention. The best gift you can give to yourself is being aware, paying attention.
Right.
Listening to the things that come your way, because being uninformed, it doesn't mean that somehow you are challenged. It means you're not paying attention. It doesn't mean that you can't be aware. It just means you're not paying attention. And I'm telling you, it's like when the sky gets dark and you see heat lightning in the sky, the rain's coming. We all know that.
Mm-hmm.
This is the state we are in right now. You have to be aware of everything that's going on around you. Predators are everywhere. These scam things are going on everywhere. Please, everybody, pay attention. It's not a television show. It's real life. So go ahead, honey.
Well, there's a couple of things to spin off of everything you just said, and I agree with it completely. You know, I had to write a report to the bank because I did a dispute on the fraud that happened to me. And at the very beginning, I said it's becoming more and more hazardous to be a private citizen and consumer, even for those of us who don't use or abuse social media or risky websites. The number of scams is increasing literally every week, and it is time that consumers are helped by those that are put in a position to do so, namely the service providers and merchants that provide their products and services in a way that make it too easy to be misused by criminals. So several times throughout my report, I say that consumers getting their money back in situations like this will make companies involved take more appropriate and proactive solution-oriented actions to prevent scams and make it harder for fraudsters to rob innocent people, just like what the One Publix said. Because I gave the example about the one, if we had bought our cards at the One Publix, we wouldn't have gotten scammed. But because it wasn't a store-wide or a corporate-wide, or maybe we just got a staff member who didn't know what they were doing, you know, but things like this have got to be done consistently. And that's another reason, you know, that I'm putting this claim out there. But just in the last, like in the last year alone, I've gotten calls from this isn't a legitimate call. Now, some of them I knew I was being scammed just because I know how these organizations work, these government organizations, but I've gotten calls from the IRS saying that they are ready to put out a warrant for my arrest and that they wanted me to make a payment over the phone immediately. I knew that was a scam, so, you know, thank God I knew the IRS didn't work that way. Last week, I got a call from Social Security saying that I've been using my Social Security number fraudulently and that there's pending legal action against me. Well, I knew that was a fraud call because I know I haven't been using my Social Security number fraudulently. About a year ago, and I think you remember this, when I had gotten right after I had gone to Employee Florida to look at some job interviews. This is before I started at Disney, so that was a little over a year ago. And then I started getting text messages from NextGen Medical Records because that's what I was looking for, home-based work. And they actually do this. It was all legitimate. I went online. I found them, the logo and everything. They do this. They do home-based record keeping. They set you up with the equipment and all that. And so I'm going through for 2 days supposedly interviewing with these people and all that. But then at the end, they say, okay, now we need all your bank information so we can wire money into your bank so you can go and pick up the equipment with. That didn't sound right to me. That's when I slammed the brakes on. I was like, that doesn't sound right. So I went on the internet and I looked for the HR department of NextGen, not the people I was talking to, but the HR department. I called into them And then when the guy picked up the phone, he goes, oh, my God, you're the ninth caller this morning to ask me if that's legitimate. No, it's a fraud. And so these people were like, anybody who had gone to Employ Florida and said this is what they were looking for, these fraudsters somehow got them. And this is when I found that these databases, you think when you go to a place like Employ Florida that nobody can see your information? No, it's a public forum. I didn't know that. So that means fraudsters can go there and collect all kinds of personal information on people, what they're looking to do. They see your resume. They know where you've been. So when they call you, you think it's legitimate. Thank God the hairs went up on the back of my neck when they asked for all my banking information, because they're like, that companies don't work like that, you know. And then my sister just got an email from Velocity, which is a credit union she used to be with. And again, this happened right, the Social Security call and the Velocity email came right on the heels of this other thing that happened to me, okay? And so my sister showed it to me, so I'm including that in my packet, my claim packet, because I think eBay should do something like this to protect their customers. But Velocity put out an email blast, and it says, beware of spoofed phone calls, and then they go on to explain that their 800 number, their legitimate 800 number is being spoofed, and that they're being called from this number to get to verify information. They say, we will never call you on the phone to verify your information. Do not take these calls or answer any of their questions. But as soon as they find out about it, they put an email blast out, warning, please read this immediately. And that's what you have to do, you know. And then a lot of the websites they go into now offer the ability to do what's called a two-part verification. Anytime that's offered, I'm telling you, it's an inconvenience, but it protects you. Anytime you go into a website and it says, do you want to do two-part verification as you log in, accept it. And what that means is that every time you try to log into your website, it's going to send a code to your phone, and you have to enter that code in before it allows you to log in. So I actually have that set up in three websites that I go into commonly. It's not like I'm going in there every day anyway. But it just gives me, you know, it's a little inconvenient because I have to go through that extra step. I have to wait for the code to show up on my phone. Big freaking deal. You know, so it takes a minute, and then I can finally log in once I get the code. But it's just an extra level of protection, and more websites are offering that. So until we have evolved enough as a species that we stop having this level of criminal element out there, then we have to be, like you said, be more aware, take the opportunity to protect yourself when you can, okay, and just be, you know, just try to, you know, I keep going over how I got scammed, and it's because these people addressed any of your concerns up front. So they must have been doing this for a long time, and a lot of the people that didn't fall for it voiced concerns.
Are you
so
all right?
This has been going on for over a year, you know. So, you made very good points. The other thing I wanted to mention about the internet, we might be able to do a whole show about this, but I'll just mention it, is that it's getting harder and harder to tell whether or not what you're reading is the truth. So what happens is when you Google anything, even if you're Googling something that you know is truthful or accurate or whatever, the first things that come up are the scam websites. This is a scam. This isn't true. This is a lie. You know, like if you look up any information on anti-vaccinations, you know, being against vaccinations. All right, the first thing that comes up isn't information to bolster the fact that you don't want to vaccinate yourself or your children and that you think it could be hazardous, okay? The first thing that comes up, all the medical sites are all the legal sites saying how ludicrous it is not to believe in vaccinations and that the anti-vaxxers are a bunch of irresponsible nuts and things like that. That's the first thing that comes up. So if you're not knowledgeable and you don't know that vaccinating can be harmful, that there have been millions of cases of people that have been harmed by vaccinations, and that, you know, you can sidestep it and do other things to boost your immune system, okay? If you read these sites, then you're just going to say, see, I knew all along, you know, these anti-vaxxers are a bunch of nuts, and that's not the case. So the way the internet is set up right now is that the common knowledge, the official narrative, are the ones that have the, because everything is done by algorithm, those are the ones that are going to rise to the top first. So when you're doing research, you have to really look for what you're looking for. You can't just go with the first hit that's come up. You have to really, people have to learn how to be a little bit more determined and persistent when they're trying to find information and not just take the first thing that comes up. And also don't take it from official sources, because a lot of times the official sources are the ones that are driving the thing that you're, you know, like Monica and I talk about this all the time, you know, with health and wellness and all that. But one of the things that I'm finding on the internet lately that is very disturbing, and that's why I'm saying maybe we should do a whole show about this, is that the level of misinformation and actual fabrications is increasing. In the past week, my sister and I have come across a couple of YouTube videos and websites talking about an individual that we've been following for a couple of years, and it was very disturbing because of the things they said about this individual. And we're like, well, that can't be true. You know, where is this coming from? And it's this, you know, the people doing all this research and, you know, proving that this person is, you know, not truthful. But my sister and I have verified what this individual following has said through other means. So we're like, well, no, that's not true, because this stuff has been vetted by us. Turns out these people they're called trolls. These people are out there for whatever their reason. They don't like what they're saying. They're part of the bigger picture, and they're pretending just to be private citizens, but they're part of the organizations that this person is exposing, you know. And a lot of these websites that appear to be from private citizens against whistleblowers are actually created by the agency or the company that the whistleblowers were attacking. And what they're doing is, because they can't disprove what the whistleblower said, so what they do is they try to attack the integrity of the whistleblower. So thank goodness the two individuals that were being that these lies were being told about found out about this video and very calmly responded to it. So you can see that you know, like, no, that's not what happened. And they're very calm, you know. So their videos in response were very well, and they said, we're not going to put any more time into it, because it's, you know, the people that follow us know that what we're saying has credibility, and that's it. But just so you know, these things did not happen. And one of them was supposedly in jail, and he's like, obviously I'm not in jail, I'm sitting here making this video, you know. But anybody that doesn't go any further, they're going to say, oh, I knew that they were criminals, I knew that they weren't telling the truth. And there's actually videos out there and website sites saying that people have been arrested, that this and that has happened for people that are in the whistleblower community, and it's absolutely not true. It's just being done to discredit it and to make people not want to follow them or even go to their websites to check them out. So that's something we have to be aware of that's happening, is that there are people out there deliberately putting misinformation out on the internet. So it makes it even more important for us to be aware. And if you understand something, and use your gut, because your gut is never wrong. Don't use your head, use your gut. If you understand something and you know it to be truthful, then you're going to have to sometimes dig a little deeper to find more information that spins off of that. Because I find that in the last 2 months, it has become very, very difficult for me to find these websites. It's almost like YouTube has been taking down videos left and right that have anything to do with controversial information. And I thought that was against our Second Amendment.
Well, that's the whole point, is that you have to do your own research. You have to be aware. That's the whole point that I'm trying to make. If you look at the internet at any given time, you're going to find different answers for everything that are being told to you, that this is the cold, hard truth. This, when I first started researching for the show, I could find, sometimes five different, the same story, and five different, you know, ways of portraying it or explaining it. And you have to be aware, and you have to pay attention to what it is you're reading. And if something seems wrong, that's what I'm talking about. Use your, you just said, you know, your gut feeling, your common sense. If it looks like a duck and quacks like a duck, it's probably a duck. I mean, I hate to keep going to that, but that's the truth. That is the truth. If it sounds too good to be true, chances are it isn't true. So all of these things are up to you, though, up to you to make the decision over what is right, what is wrong, what sounds like it's a crock. And if it sounds true and you want to really believe it, human beings instinctually, when something, you know, feels good to them, they want to believe it. When something feels bad to them, they don't want to believe it. But the deal is now, because there's so much information out there, you have to be more acutely aware of what is true and what isn't true. But let me say that, you know, this is all up to the individual. And some people shall, you know, it's like religion and politics. Everybody has a different opinion. Everybody. And that's okay. But, you know, you have to base your opinions on what you know to be the truth. And that's the hard part, because it's hard to find the truth today. It's hard to find it, because most of the things that we, last night, the debate, I mean, everybody's all talking about the young woman who called Biden on the floor and said what she said, and she sounded incredibly strong. My instinct was to say, oh man, I love her. And then the more I mulled it over this morning and started looking at different things and watching a couple other inputs, I thought to myself, oh, maybe not. It's confusing, and it's hard to understand what's right and what's wrong. So, but I do think that the more informed you are, the better decision you make. Let me mention some of these laws that have changed. I'm not going to talk about all of them, because some of them won't affect any of us. But these are supposed to be going in as of July 1st. A lot of them are about charter schools. They're going to start building charter schools that are closer to public schools, and there's going to be some funding, and the kids will be able to graduate and have the same kind of diplomas that a public school has. So I like that, and I don't like that. Again, I've seen some charter schools around here that don't teach anything. So I have mixed emotions about that. That's the only reason I bring it up. So if you're interested in a charter school, again, let me say to you, research, check it out, go to the school, talk to the people who are in charge. You know, that's the only way you're ever going to find out if they're really worth their salt. Texting and driving will be an offense, a primary offense. They don't need to stop you for speeding and see that you're texting. Excuse me, as of July 1st, they'll be able to stop you if it looks like you're texting on your phone.
Good.
There's going to be new testing for yeah, I think that's great too. Girl,
I like
beside
that.
Me, just leaving a light, she almost steered right into me the other day.
I know.
I had to beat my horn because she was looking at her phone. And
yep.
The another thing that I thought was kind of nice, but I didn't know you couldn't do it already, homeowners get the right to grow fruits and vegetables in their front yard. I didn't know there were places that didn't let you do that. That seemed kind of silly to me. But another really important one is firefighter benefits. Firefighters with cancer and the families of firefighters who have died from it get access to certain benefits. Now, I want to say that I think that should go to all first responders. I don't know if that is the goal. The list that I looked at just tells me cut and dried what they did, but they don't tell me whether they're – maybe policemen already do, so I probably should research that before I run my yapper. Female inmates – you know, it's like I'm saying, you know, I'm reading this and I'm sharing it with everybody, but you're going to need to research if one of these things affects you.
Right.
Female inmates, it requires st- state correctional facilities provide incarcerated women with certain health care products, provides requirements for male correctional employees in certain circumstances, requires documentation of certain incidents involving male correctional employees. Now, that's about all the complaints in regard to being subjected to, not nice situations. A female with a male that is watching them all the time. There's a lot of,
right.
We've done a lot of shows on that. So I don't know. That seems kind of gray to me, but it is. It's number 49, and it says they're going to start looking into it, I guess, and hopefully doing some fixing with that. Also, civilians who work in law enforcement will have private addresses. In the past, it's only been police officers, but now if you are the person that answers the phone in the police station, because I guess their safety is an issue if their addresses
mm-hmm.
are made public. They're doing some changes with the toll roads that I'm not even going to go into because it's very sketchy. They're going to allow the development of driverless vehicles in the state and create a statewide framework for its regulation. I also find that to be scary. Here's another one that's going to affect a lot of people. No more vaping in indoor workplaces.
Good.
Everywhere you go here, down in this part of Florida anyway, I mean, twice I've thought somebody's vehicle was on fire, Shelley. I'm behind
mm-hmm.
them and they're
mm-hmm.
blowing the vape smoke out the window and I'm like, oh my God, they're on fire. And then I realized they were vaping. There's some new rules going up for hemp.
Yeah, they recently made that. That actually is something they just did at Disney parks because it's so kid oriented and there are no smoking. I don't know if you're aware of this or not. But now there are no smoking areas inside the Disney parks. If you want to smoke,
yeah.
you have to exit the park and go out to the parking lot. And I think that's great because I used to walk around the park and there'd be areas that were smoking. It'd be like 30 people there. Well, that smoke doesn't stay there. It wafts out into the areas that are not smoking, and because so many people are sensitive to cigarette smoke now, and it really bothers them, and it really bothers kids. They have so many children that come with asthma and stuff like that now that they just had to. They said they know we're going to be unpopular, but there's such a small portion of the population now still smokes that they're looking at, the majority of the people that come there, and they were just laden with so many complaints about the smoking areas. So now they don't have them anymore, or vaping. You're not allowed vaping inside of the Disney parks either.
Well, I think that's wonderful. I mean, and I'm surrounded by smokers, but I think it's wonderful.
Yeah.
The less opportunities they have to smoke, I'm in complete agreement with and support of, because if any of my wish on a star or anything's ever came true, everybody won't smoke anymore. I've lost too many people
right.
to smoking. It's not a good thing.
Yep.
So, but like I said, there's a whole lot. One of the things that I'm like, this isn't already true. Dogs and horses, people who injure or kill first responders, dogs or horses, could face up to 15 years in prison. Previously, it was an offense, but it was capped at 5 years for that person.
Wow.
Some of these things I just had no idea. And there's some on here, medical weed, of course, that's the governor's signature in March repealed the ban on smokable medical marijuana. They're changing some of the school taxes. I also think that they're trying to get involved in things that they won't ever know anything about. They're talking about needles for drug users and things like that. All that stuff is covert. I mean, unless you go into the drug dens and you go to the places where, you know, it's happening all the time. And I don't think they do, Shelley, unless they're called in. I don't think there is a, I don't think there's an organized fight against drug dens, nor do I think there is an organized attempt to clean up the doctors who are writing prescriptions for, you know, oxycodone, Oxycontin, all of the above. I don't think that still at this point in time, because there's so much revenue generated that nobody, they talk about it, but I don't think anybody's doing anything about it. I mean, every day somebody posts a video of somebody that's all messed up on whatever, and you have to know it's a myriad of things. It's whatever they could get their hands on. And people just take videos. You know, it's like the bullying things that we've watched. Instead of calling somebody to stop, the girl getting stomped on in the back of the bus, everybody's just taking videos. So there's a lot of stuff to clean up. I mean, yeah, it's a lot worse than we know. A couple years ago, when we talked about it on the show, they were going to stop panhandlers at all of the entrances and exits on the Turnpike and 95. You remember when we talked about that? That was like 3 years ago, maybe. And that's still a big part of Florida, Outside of Walmart, if you go late at night or really early in the morning, like I'm prone to do, I get, I don't get accosted, but they'll follow me right in. And most of the time, stolen something out of Walmart, these lost souls, and want to sell it to you. And I mean, I would never take my purse off my arm, open my purse, do nothing like that out there. But it still exists. Mm-hmm. When I go in the store, I say, you've got somebody outside that is, you know, accosting your patrons. And again, if it's not that 12-hour span between 6 and 6 or 7 and 7, there's no real bosses in Walmart.
Right.
They go between having a policeman on guard and not having a policeman on guard, depending on, you know, what their statistics are showing. But last week, somebody drove into the Belvedere and Military Trail Walmart in the middle of the night, who had been shot driving down Military Trail. And he, after he got shot, he pulled into that parking lot, and that's where he died, sitting in the parking lot at the Walmart. And they had to call people to come take care of it. There was nobody at this 24, 7-day-a-week Walmart that is there to ensure everyone's safety. So lots of stuff that, you know, I think we need a lot of help, I guess, is the end of the day.
Now that you mention that, I want to expound on that just a little bit. I know you probably have other things to read, but let me just say this real quick. Some of the crime dramas that these are true to life crimes. You know, they're actually talking to the people that were involved, either the relatives of the victims or sometimes the people survived what happened to them. But it's astonishing to me how many murders take place outside of places like a Walmart, because you would think, because Walmart's open 24/7, and that's when I really started second guessing how safe it is to go, even though the parking lot is totally lit up and the store is totally lit up. You really have to question who's out at 2 o'clock in the morning or 3 o'clock in the morning. Now you're out at 2 or 3 in the morning. But for you, it's probably the exception to the rule because you ran out of something, or maybe you work a late shift and that's why you're going. But the truth of it is that the majority of the people that are there all the time usually don't have good intentions. They usually are there to either panhandle from people or maybe even rob them outright. And it's astonishing that there have been several murders that took place by people that hung out in places like a Walmart at 2 o'clock in the morning and just kept watching until they saw somebody that looked like they'd have money. Either they got robbed at their car or shot. And one woman was actually abducted, and then raped and killed like a mile away. And they caught the whole abduction on camera. But like you said, nobody's sitting there staring at the camera. So nobody saw it happen in real time. But when the cops came the next day and they found her car and her door was open and her purse was there and everything, her wallet was missing, but her purse was there and her keys. So they knew that somebody had gotten abducted. And when they reeled back, they were horrified because they saw the whole abduction take place. And then she was actually murdered. So it's like our world can be hazardous if you're not self-aware. So if you're going to go to a Walmart at 2 o'clock in the morning, go with somebody, you know, go with a friend. Generally these things happen to single people that are vulnerable. Okay. So make sure, you know, if you're going to be doing something like I had to go to our ATM recently. And my sister and I went together. It was like, you know, very late at night. But I'm not going to go into the reason for it, but anyway, but I had to go to the ATM very late at night. My sister came with me because generally speaking, nothing is going to happen when there's two people. It's when it's one person, you're vulnerable and you're just subject to it. And that's something I think people have to be more and more aware of now.
Well, and, you know, like me, I'm used to doing whatever I want to do. I mean, that's who I've been for most of my life anyway. But that's recently. I took one of the grandchildren back to Sebastian. It's like a 3 to 4 hour trip going and coming back. And I had to stop at Walmart. And it was about 11 o'clock at night. So I stopped and I went in and got the couple things that I wanted to get. And the young lady at the register, she said, "Are you here all by yourself?" And I said, "Yes." And she said, "Somebody was just robbed out there last night. You shouldn't, you know, you shouldn't be here by yourself." I said, "Wow, I look that old. It's just gray hair. I'm still okay, you know." And she looked at me. She says, "I don't mean that." She says, "I just mean because you're, you know, you're a woman." And I said, "Okay." So I walked out. You know, I laughed and told her I'd be fine and everything. And I walked out and I thought to myself, I never thought about it, Shelley. I'm just so used to doing what I do. Of course, I put myself in a unsafe place. And when she said it to me, first I was offended, like, you know, I'm not that damn old, but she was right. And and of course, when I said something to my eldest son, he says, "Yeah, Ma, no more of that. Don't be doing that." You know, he says, if we need something, somebody else can go out and get it. And I'm like, yeah, well, I don't see me stopping doing what I do, but it did give me cause for thought, let me say that. So, but I do, we're almost out of time, but I do want to say that of all the things that we've talked about today, the most important thing that Shelley and I are trying to get across to you is to be aware of your surroundings, be aware of your situation. If somebody calls you on the phone and the first thing they say to you is, "Oh, is this Maureen Brewer? Are you such and such at this address?" and everything, either hang up or say, "Who the hell is this?" Don't give any answers to anybody that you don't know on the phone. I don't care what kind of questions they are. If they're really doing something that they're supposed to be doing, they'll have other information to give you before you give them anything. Just remember that. You give them nothing. And if they really are somebody that you need to talk to, you know, what I do now is say, you know, like the day the fireman, right after what happened to you, the fireman calls me. I said, "You know, I'd love to give you money, but my girlfriend just got scammed, so I don't trust you." And he started laughing. He says, "Okay." He says, "What do you want to do?" And I said, "I'm afraid to give you any money." And I said, "And I would really like to." So he called me back the next day with his ID number and all that kind of stuff and sent me a letter telling me he was on the up and up and everything. So finally I called back and donated a little bit of money because the fire department has saved us more than once. So I'm a big supporter of the fire department. So But it did give me, you know, it gave me cause for thought,
yep.
Shell, you know, because
exactly.
we are pretty trusting. And if nothing bad has happened to you in the last 10 years or something, you get more trusting again. And I want us to
yep.
be trusting, and I want us to care about each other, but I also want us to be safe. So everybody
yep.
have a nice weekend. If you're living in South Florida, you're up for some storms. And my dog finally quit shaking, sitting here underneath my leg.
Aww.
Because the storm has stopped here. Yeah, he gets so scared. He wears a thunder jacket and everything. Do you know, if it starts to thunder or the lights flicker, and I come in, he doesn't have his thunder jacket on, and I come in the bedroom and get it, he is so excited to have me put it on him. It's so cute.
Aww.
He holds very still and wags his tail like, thanks, Mom, I needed that. Yeah. They're worth
That's
their weight
adorable.
In gold, those little thunder jackets for the dogs that are afraid. So, God bless
That's
everybody.
Awesome.
Have a great weekend. Stay safe and be aware. Thanks, Shell. Love you. Bye-bye.
Love you too, Rainey. Thanks, and God bless everyone.